College holds a mythic place in American culture. On the new Campus Files podcast, we uncover the scandals you won't hear on the campus tours. Find Campus Files on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
In the middle between second and third, runner goes, swing and a miss by Church. Throw down to second. It's going to get all the way out to center field, and that's going to score a run. Weatherholt comes in on the bad throw by the catcher Ramirez.
John Hancock and Chris Ranji today on the Chris and Amy Show. And in case you missed it earlier, they have given the all clear on the Wash U campus. There was a person with a weapon, allegedly, that they put the alert out there for people to shelter in place. But everything is back to normal at Wash U, and it doesn't look like anything terrible has happened there. So just so you know, all clear. And normal operations have resumed there. It is time for us to go to the guest line this morning, and the Cardinals season is coming up, baby. We're about a month away from it, but right now, spring training games are ongoing. The Grapefruit League is happening in Florida. Sam Dykstra, minor league reporter for MLB Pipeline, contributes to MLB Network. Sam is with us on KMOX. We talk a little Cardinals prospects today. How's it going, Sam?
It's good. Thanks so much for having me.
Well, thank you for being here. And from everything we hear, everything that we've read, people around baseball, around the country, seem to think the Cardinals have done a pretty good job in the last year or so of building up their prospect base. How good do they look compared to other teams right now in terms of the talent in the system?
Yeah, we are going to come out with our farm system rankings here in a little bit, so nothing is out there official yet. If I were to vote today, given the additions that they've had, given the internal development they've had, it feels like a top five system in baseball, which is where you want to be if you are trading away assets, right, like Sonny Gray, Wilson Contreras, Brendan Donovan. You want to be acquiring minor league talent that you can build up and see coming to St. Louis in 2 or 3 years, or in some of these guys' cases, very, very quickly. I think they've done well in drafts recently at the top, getting J.J. Weatherholt in 2024, Liam Doyle out of Tennessee last year. There's a real exciting well of talent hiding underneath. I mean, not a lot of these guys are going to break outside of Weatherholt with the major league roster, but there are a lot of reasons to be excited, certainly more reasons to be excited on the farm than many other organizations have right now.
Or then for many years as it relates to the Cardinals. And one of the places where we just have a wealth in the farm system is at the catching position. We've seen Raniel Rodriguez already this spring wallop the ball. Of course, he's a long way away from making the roster. But the Cardinals have a great amount of catching depth, and that's a good piece of capital to have.
Yeah, and it's catching depth in multiple different ways, right? You mentioned Raniel Rodriguez. We've already seen him hit a ball 106.7 miles per hour in Major League spring training. By the way, he's only 19 years old, and he might have the best power in all of the system. So you have that guy who's a bat-first catcher climbing his way towards St. Louis. But above him, you have Jimmy Crooks, who obviously made the majors last year, and Leonardo Bernal, who are both glove-first guys. Bernal was actually a minor league gold glove winner last year. Jimmy Crooks might be even a better defender than him. Both of those guys control the running game. They have different flavors that they're going to pick and choose from. You want multiple bites at the apple, right? You don't want one catcher who you putting all your hopes and dreams on and hoping that guy comes through it with three of these guys potentially taking over behind the plate long term. They give themselves a chance. And, the dream is to have two of these guys flipping off between each other. I still really like Raniel Rodriguez. I'm super excited to see what he can do with that power. Maybe he can be a 30 to 35 homer guy, which is extremely valuable behind the plate.
The guy we talk about a lot here because he is considered to be the top prospect in the Cardinal system is J.J. Weatherholt, who is likely going to make the team out of spring training. And if that's the case, that will hurt whatever the farm system rankings are because he has graduated to the big league. So this is kind of a two-part question. One, what do you think of him specifically as a prospect? And two, what will that do to their rankings when he is no longer in the pipeline anymore?
Well, I'll put it this way first. For your first part of your question, he's our number five overall prospect in all of baseball. Obviously, the hit tool is what excited evaluators mostly coming out of the draft in West Virginia, and the fact that he batted 306 with a 931 OPS last year between AA and AAA actually started hitting for a little bit more power by the time he reached Memphis. Just solidified that he is one of the best hitting prospects in all of baseball. He's somebody you make room for, and that's what they did with the Brendan Donovan trade. I think, you know, things were kind of trending. Maybe he goes over to third base, but he can struggle a little bit on throws. He has the arm strength, but he's a better fit for second. Everybody's believed that. Well, now there's the opening there, and you put him in there. You don't worry about it. I saw an interview with Mason Wynn during yesterday's Cardinals broadcast, where he was saying, you know, those two guys really complement each other really well. Mason Wynn brings the defense. J.J. Weatherholt brings the offense. Now how much can they mix that together and get a little bit more out of offense for Wynn and a little bit more defense for Weatherholt? But those guys playing alongside each other all spring is going to be huge. And then in terms of how it's going to affect the rankings, yeah, it's going to make them drop a little bit. But the whole point of player development is to get major league pieces ready, get them, you know, with exciting tools like Weatherholt has, even if they take a dip. I think that's something that all of Cardinals Nation can celebrate because they got a really, really good prospect to the major leagues when he was ready.
Sam Dykstra is our guest. He's a minor league reporter for MLB Pipeline. Pitching, everybody's looking for pitching, and everybody in baseball is looking for swing and miss stuff, and pitchers get hurt. And we've had some pitchers that have gone through some injuries and missed some time in the minor leagues. I'm thinking about Tink Hentz and Cooper Jerpy. Are those guys potential to see the Cardinal roster at some point in 2026?
Yeah, both of those guys are on the 40-man roster now. Jerpy's coming back from Tommy John surgery that knocked him out for all of 2025. And Tink Hentz, I mean, still has not thrown 100 innings in a season yet. He was dealing with a lat strain to begin last year, then a right shoulder impingement, just really limited. And that's been the story ever since he was taken in the 2020 draft. I think both of those guys could be options this year because, again, they're on the 40-man. I think Hentz is more likely because he's not coming off major surgery in the way that Jerpy is. Jerpy, you want him being built back up. The interesting thing with Hentz is hearing from the St. Louis camp, they might be moving him to relief, not just because they want to preserve his health, but they just want to get him the ball as much as possible. They don't want him just getting one start a week and then having to sit, work on bullpens. Like, work as much in games as he can to get his stuff back because he just hasn't had much game action the last few years. So we'll see what his role ends up being in St. Louis. The stuff still could play as a starter. I mean, that changeup is really special, and he's been in the mid-90s at times with his fastball, but it's all about health for Tink Hentz.
The prospects that the Cardinals received in the Brendan Donovan deal is Gerangelo Sancha, who is throws both with both arms. And he's likely, at least from what we understand, not going to use both arms, or not throw with both arms. He'll have to use both of his arms. But he'll not throw with both hands at the big league level, though they're going to have him, I guess, on the side do some work with the other hand just so he can stay in shape there. How do you feel about him? And then generally, how do you feel about prospects? And there are very, very few of them that are ambidextrous.
Yeah, I mean, this is really a rarity. I can't think of anybody else right now who I would rank as a top 30 prospect for any org who can do this, right? Like, this is just very strange and different, and it's a credit to him. Like, I think he's a natural lefty that throws better from the right side because he's had to work more at it. So the fact that the Mariners were talking about this literally the week of the trade, before the trade went down to send Brendan Donovan to Seattle, that they were going to put the left-hand stuff off to the side and just let him throw righty. And I think that actually adds to his upside because he's done so much to focus on being able to do both, right? Well, now what happens when, at least in games, you're only focused on throwing right-handed, you're focused on getting that stuff as sharp as possible. I think there's another gear to unlock for Gerangelo Sancha, and I'm excited to see what he can do. I mean, it's his second full season. It's a fastball, you know, that gets plus grades, above average slider, decent changeup. If all of those pitches take another step there, that's a potential number three or four starter for the Cards.
So perhaps Rawlings won't have to get busy designing a glove that could fit on either hand.
I think they do have those, don't they?
I don't know.
Yeah.
They do. Oh, it's a little awkward, but yeah, it's funny how those work.
I've got oven mitts like that.
Yeah.
Okay, so power bats. We've got the young Baez in the system. How do the Cardinals look in terms of sluggers in the minor league system?
Yeah, I mean, Ronnie L. Rodriguez, the catcher I brought up earlier, I think has the best chance for power moving forward. He gets to it really well. I mean, I brought up that double earlier. That's what he does. I mean, he hits the ball hard to the pull side. And as is consistently taught across the game now. That's how you're going to get your power in games. So if he's already doing this at 19 years old, it's so much easier to dream what he can do on the, at full maturity when he's in his prime at 26, 27, 28. Joshua Baez is one of the most interesting developmental stories in all of minor league baseball to me. He was somebody who the Cardinals, for years were singing his praises. They really like the upside. He's big at 6'3", but can move decently well. The power, raw power is plus-plus at least. He just struck out a ton, and you kind of had to put him off to the side when you're doing these rankings, because if you're not making contact at single A and high A, you're almost guaranteed not to do that at double A, triple A, and never get a crack at the majors. But to his credit, the Cardinals really went to him and said, hey, man, you have to figure this out. It is your 40-man roster decision year. You're either going to sink or swim. This is what needs to be figured out. And if you look at him hitting side by side, last year he was a lot more streamlined to the ball. It was a less noisy swing, more direct, and the contact rate really took off. I mean, it might be an average hit tool now. And with that, plus the power, it's a really interesting player. He's got a plus arm. He's a natural fit in right field. I know they have Jordan Walker there. He's going to get plenty of leash still. So Joshua Baez can go to AAA this year, maybe tear the cover off the ball and force the issue for St. Louis. But the fact that he's here now as a top 100 prospect, he's number 87 on our list, is a testament to how well he took to development and how much of a plan the Cardinals had for him going into last year.
I'm Sally Helm with the podcast History This Week. In each episode, we serve as your eyes and ears into history's biggest events. Major elections, world wars, scientific breakthroughs. But we also bring you into the smaller, behind-the-scenes stories, the unsung heroes, secret meetings, even personal grudges that changed the course of history. Listen to and follow History This Week, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with the History Channel. Available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
So we have done here, as you can imagine, a lot of discussion about where the Cardinals' farm system was, where their facilities ranked in terms of what they had, technology they had available for the development of players, and how they had really fallen behind in that area over the last several years, and they kind of let it get away from them and are making more progress to try and correct all of that. As far as you can tell, with what they have done at that level, how much better have they gotten just there, just with the facilities and with, trying to help the development process for players where they had really let everybody else bypass them for so many years?
Yeah, I mean, I think one of the stories of the spring down in Jupiter, right, is just the improvement of the facilities at Roger Dean Stadium on the Cardinals side, and getting pitching labs and getting, hitting data that just makes it so much easier to understand what makes all of these prospects tick. What are their best attributes and how can they pull that out of them? It's not a one-size-fits-all approach, nor should it be, honestly, with today's game. You have so many different body types, so many different ways guys move. Trying to put, like, hey, we want everybody throwing a sinker, that's going to cause some guys to really struggle. And I think just the vocabulary of the Cardinals' development, they brought over Robert Trufoglio last year, Larry Day from the Cleveland Guardians organization. Guardians are exceptional at development and internal development. And you can really see how it's changed and how the ways guys talk. Guys like Joshua Baez taking off, J.J. Weatherholt, maybe even improving on what we saw in West Virginia. Yeah, they had some guys scuffle, like Quinn Matthews, who used to be a top 100 prospect, but in many cases it was arrows up in the Cardinals system now, and a lot of that has to do with the guys they brought in. Obviously, Chaim Bloom is now going to be even more focused on player development, and just the access to facilities that they have there at Roger Dean, it's only going to help them not only now but years to come.
Yeah, real emphasis on power pitching arms in these acquisitions that as the Cardinals have dealt off some of their assets. And they brought in these power arms. Looking across Major League Baseball, what's the average hit rate for, say you got a half a dozen pitchers that throw 9,800 miles an hour? How many of those guys actually make it?
That's a good question. I wish I had an exact number for you off the top of my head. It's different, right? Like, Major League, I grew up, in the 90s and 2000s, and I remember a fastball that was 95. You would get the flame marker on the screen because everybody thought 95 was throwing hard. Now the major league average is 93, 94. So if guys are throwing 98, it's not the same 98 that it used to be. And just having that pitch isn't enough. I mean, overall, is it going to give you the availability to make the majors if you're throwing 98 over 95? Sure. But you need command. You're not just going to be throwing it all over the shop with 98. There's so much more that you need to do. So somebody like Brandon Clarke, who they brought in from the Red Sox in the Sonny Gray trade, who unfortunately is down now with a shoulder injury. But he was 95, 98 with a pair of fastballs last year, and he's got a really, really good breaker beyond that. So the fastball is not enough anymore. You have to have that plus-plus slider that he has, and I'm really interested to see, once he's healthy, what the Cardinals can do to maybe unlock another step for him.
Every time I see Major League, every time the movie's on and I watch the part where they're in camp and Rick Vaughn is throwing pitches and he throws the fastball and breaks the sign because he's wild, and they marvel at the fact he threw it 96. Like, how fast was that? 96. And everybody goes, oh my God, 96. And now dudes are throwing 105. It's funny to me to think back on that.
And part of the concern, right, is that we are hitting like what the capabilities are of the human body. We are seeing guys break down more than ever. Like, if you're throwing 100, but it's leading to Tommy John or it's leading to shoulder problems, but it's getting you a shot at the majors, it's so much of what guys have to balance now. Like, I know people are like, oh, why don't you go back to throwing 88, 89 with command? Well, guess what? That's being taken 420 out to left center every time now. Like, batters have improved, right, too. So you need that quality of stuff.
Sam Dykstra, we love the information. Thank you for talking with us today, and we'll do it again soon.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me, guys.
Sam Dykstra, minor league reporter for MLB Pipeline, contributes to MLB Network.
Hi, this is Jill Schlesinger, CBS News business analyst, certified financial planner, and the host of the Jill on Money podcast. With the new year upon us, there's no better time to take control of your financial life, and the Jill on Money podcast is here to help. It's your questions that make it possible for me to provide unconventional and, I hope, entertaining insights on your money and, more importantly, on your life. Follow and listen to Jill on Money wherever you get your podcasts.